Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This work I'm going to tell you about is based on some collaborations that I've had in the last few years, plus some students. In this list of collaborators here, I just want to highlight the first one, which is Dietmar Wolt from Germany, who is my present collaborator, the most effective one right now. So the question we are addressing here is that how can we have an evolutionary algorithm that would help us find rules that do something that we want to do? Okay. So just to remind you roughly of which kind of algorithm we're talking about. Basically, our question is we want to find rules that do something. So we start with a population of candidate rules, and then we go on looking at everyone and giving them a score in terms of how well they perform the task that we wanted to do. With this scored population, then we select those which are doing better, so to speak, and with this we then operate with them in terms of mixing rules together to produce new offspring ones, or mutating one rule to another so that we would have a new sample that would then form the new population. So this process is then iterated from a starting population, you operate them, you select them, and then the thing goes on until you are satisfied with the score that you are given to some of these rules. Okay, so I'll start showing the results that we got with this kind of algorithm. Then I'll tell you very briefly, just skim over some basic ideas that we relied upon in order to get these results, which is basically two and a half phases, and then I'll do some concluding remarks. So the main task we are talking about here is the density classification task, which is very popular. We have already, I think, three talks mentioning this rule, which is basically the idea of in the initial configuration of a binary cellular automaton with periodic boundary conditions, if you have more ones than zeros, you want the converge this cellular automaton to a configuration of all ones. Otherwise, there are more zeros than ones, you want a final configuration with all zeros. This has been going on for quite a while, but it turns out that there is not there isn't a single rule, a rule alone that can do this job. And the question remains of which is the best possible rule that we can have, even though this will be an imperfect rule. As far as I know, we don't know yet which is this best possible rule. I'll skip some things here. In respect to this one-dimensional cellular automata, this is a highlight of some famous rules that have been published. And until very recently, a rule found by Julie and Pollack through a variation of a genetic algorithm was the best rule that we had. It had a performance of about 86%. Last year, we, using a different algorithm, we found a rule that initially we thought it would be a better rule than this rule here, which I refer to JP1 with initials. But it turned out that it was an equivalent rule. They were just a transformation of the rule that Dewey and Pollock had found. But even more recently, with a new algorithm and some lessons from the previous approach, we found this very good rule, which has a score of about 89%. And we have strong evidence that this might be the best we can get. Well, yeah, it's in press. It's coming in the Journal of Cellular Automata. Yeah, sorry. So this is the kind of picture that you get from this rule. It's not possible to see anything really different, but it gives an idea of the working of one rule like that. Yeah. Well, in this case, or generally, what you do, you take the rule, you get a big bunch of initial conditions, and you submit to the rule and see how much it achieves in terms of what it should have done. But the actual value, like the ones I've shown in the previous slide, they change depending on the author. They have done different. That's quite an issue. This is a very harsh evaluation over millions of initial configurations of size 149. We can get back to this later. We also applied the same kind of techniques to two-dimensional DCT, density classification task. There was the best rule that we were aware of in the literature came out 3 years ago. And here's the situation. Here's the initial configuration. Time goes to the right and downward. So this is one very good rule that we found, which is apparently also the best one available in the literature or soon. So what's the situation? What did we manage to achieve then so far? In respect to the one-dimensional DCT, we now have about 3,000, more than 3,000 rules better than JP1. These are single representatives of each equivalence class. Okay, so in fact, it's more than that. In respect to DCT, we found more than 1,000 rules better than the one that had been published before. This is in a Moore neighborhood, size 21/21. And we also performed some experiments with radius 2 Noyman neighborhood, also got some significant score, and tried also in a 3D version with Noyman neighborhood, size 21, and got this kind of result. We didn't play very much with this. Anyway, the density classification problem was then the main problem we worked with. The other one is the parity problem, which is a variation of the latter in terms that the initial condition, if the number of ones is even, you want the final configuration to go to all zeros. Otherwise, it should go to all ones. There is this very nice discussion about which problem would be the most difficult. We can discuss this later on. The fact is that parity problem also cannot be solved perfectly for any size of initial configuration. So what did we manage to get? We have, this is also in this 2008 paper, we have 98 rules. All these rules are radius 3. I didn't call your attention to that. So the 1D ones. So these are 1D, 98 radius, and they are perfect for all initial conditions of a prime number size in this range, from 11 to 31, we tried all the initial configurations within this. And did a very big sample with odd-sized initial configurations, or odd-sized lattices, in this range from 37 to 149, 800 billion ICs, so initial configurations, and they didn't fail. But they do not work for even-sized lattices, only for odd-sized lattices. In respect to even-sized lattices, we also found some good rules with around 85% score, but they do not scale when we try larger size. So this is an open issue. Well, it matters. I have a slide later on that if we had time, we can go through that. So this is one rule that we found. This one didn't belong to that 98 ones that I showed. These three belong just to see different patterns or different strategies that they're using to solve the problem. So why are we studying this? Well, first of all, we want to have good algorithms that would maybe we could transfer the knowledge acquired in one problem and use it in a different problem for other purposes. And it's quite interesting for its own sake, actually. So this is an overview of how we achieve that. Basically, in this first phase, I'm referring to the use of a single idea in various forms of evolutionary algorithms, which I will mention in the next slide. Then we analyze the outcome of these experiments and these experiences, and went to the second phase, which was the one that showed these last results of these very good rules. So, just very rough idea. So, the point is, it's possible to look at a rule and define parameters that might be hints of the dynamical behavior of the rule. So, we defined four parameters which have these names here: sensitivity, neighborhood dominance, and this is well documented in the literature. And what they do basically, take for instance sensitivity, regardless of what it is. High values of sensitivity lead to chaotic behavior, and low values lead to no behavior. So all these, they have this feature of kind of separating the space of possible rules or creating trends in terms of the value of their values to regions with a more likely dynamical behavior. So what we did in this first approach, we used this idea in various forms in various algorithms, but basically in two forms. First one, when having this population of candidate rules and picking one up and evaluating how good it will do, instead of just looking at how they will do in terms of the job itself or the task itself they were trying to solve, we added this component that is based on how close this rule was in terms of the best rules we had so far. So we had a bunch of, a handful of good rules. We calculated the value of those parameters for this group, and then we kind of scored every rule in terms of not only how well it was doing in the job we wanted to do, but also in terms of going towards that regions of the space where the good rules were. So that's the idea. So we embedded this in the evaluation function of this algorithm, and also in the way the operations of crossover and mutation would occur. So we would kind of favoring the crossover and mutations also towards these regions of best rules. So this was basically the idea, and we did that in various kinds of algorithms. Let me show you later. So once we did that, we had about 53 good rules, or sorts of good rules, and then I did some analysis with these rules. And so this was the first thing I tried. This is a representation of these 53 rules. All of them have a score of at least 70%, and each rule represents the binary, is the binary representation of the rule. So from here, from the best one to the worst. And what we see is that there is some kind of symmetry going on here, right? So cutting a long story short, I thought this kind of symmetry is actually related to these conjugate and reflection transformations that we have in the rules. For instance, this is rule 110. If we do the left-right or reflection symmetry of the rule, we get this kind of pattern. This is the black and white transformation, and this is the composition of both. So that's the kind of issue that's going on there. And if we take a sample, this is representing the black and white, left and right, and black and white, and the composition of both of a random sample. What do you mean by that? It's possible if you take a rule, you can compute how many rules, how many state transitions of the rule are respecting each kind of symmetry of this three. So here is a random sample of the composition of these transformations, and here is when I take only the top 39 good rules of my set. All of these have score larger than 80%, and what we see is that there is a peak here around 50, 51, whereas a random sample something around 30 and 35. So, in essence, what this is creating is an evidence that this kind of symmetry score is something that these good rules are exploring, and then we thought about embedding this directly into the algorithm. In addition to the fact that all good rules tend to be balanced, and in fact, ideally, they have to be balanced, as Fuchs showed this. So, the last phase then, we had this basic genetic algorithm, which there are various details here, but one point is that in addition to this basic evolutionary algorithm, we have this additional layer of search going on. So this is the basic search of the previous slide, but every now and then we would subject the good rules that would come out from here to this higher level of evaluation, which was based upon stricter conditions than the previous. So this would then iterate. This would also allow us to have multi-threaded global evaluation searches in which we could exchange fitness values. For instance, we have this global search going on here, and they're doing very well. Then they can give this value of fitness that they would have found to another global search so that they would get connected and get influenced by the other. So this was an additional feature we went through. I'll skip this. So this is what we said before with a bit more detail. So basically the first phase, in that first phase, we tried these sorts of standard evolutionary algorithm, which was basically Melanie Mitchell's original use that we wanted to have as a baseline for our comparisons. And we also did co-evolutionary approaches to these in the sense that not only we would be evolving or looking for good rules, but also for good initial conditions that would make them fail. So it was this two choices thing going on. We also tried a multi-objective approach to using the same idea, and the point was, in all of them, the use of these parameters derived from the dynamical behavior of the rules were effective in making the version whatever of the evolutionary algorithm better when adding this idea. What we did then, this was a very much improved evolutionary algorithm in which it was even more elitist. We carried over directly to the next generation a bunch of good rules in a more... The architecture was different, was this one I've just mentioned to you. And the evaluation, the way of evaluating was... evaluating the rule was also improved significantly. In particular, and this is one of the key points, in when generating a rule, we did, or what we are calling here, we repair this rule before reintroducing it into the population. And repairing it how? In terms of forcing the rule to be balanced. So we do a local search to get it balanced, and so that the rule would have high value of the conjugate reflection symmetry score. So only after that we will reintroduce the rule back into the population. Okay, so which are the lessons and the open questions? Using parameters derived from the rule table of rules is definitely something that helps in evolution research. But the algorithm definition also makes a big difference. And you may ask, the computational power is also something that's useful. We had, we can talk about this later. But some questions I have right now is, for instance, how can we create, if we have these parameters, how can we create a rule that would respect the values of this parameter? This is not a trivial algorithm, and we kind of hacked into doing that. But we can ask about other parameters that might be possible, and the question of which is the best possible rule remains. And in fact, if we look quickly here, even deciding which is the best rule is not fully clear. Because here I have this rule that I'm calling R1, which is, I think it's the number one in our rank. This is another good rule. This is the old JP1 and the equivalent that we had found. And if we, these are the sizes of initial configurations of tests that would submit to the rules for evaluation. This is a sample size. For instance, 85 million initial configurations of size 149. So this would give a score of this for each rule. In blue, it's the best result. In black, it's the second best. In red, is the worst. And if you look at this, it's not trivial to decide which one is the best, you know, depending on, these are different initial distributions of densities in the initial configurations. And, well, we have these open questions of where we do, why we cannot find yet good rules for even size or for arbitrary size. I suspect that it has to do with the speed of a rule. And there was this very nice issue here, but I think I had to stop in terms of which are the parameters to use. I think I have this intuition that conservative rules in the space, they are like beacons where good DCT rules should lead but not reach. So based on that, I think there's something very nice regarding conservative rules, which I have evidence for, but do not have the time to discuss right now. So I thank you and thank Henrik for inviting me over here. Thank you.